Well, hello, Senator. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I don't know what happened there on the other line, the KCNN line. But anyway, so one thing, I just, if I could, just having listened to that now, and I've seen lots of people, Jim Jordan, certainly probably the best among us at doing it, but also Rand Paul, taking Dr. Fauci on in these big ways. My problem with what they're doing is they're talking to the wrong guy. You know, avoid crowds. He's never said, unless, of course, it's a riot or, you know, some liberal protest, then the crowd's okay. He's not the one making those policy decisions. Those are policy decisions where the guidelines that he presents are selectively enforced by liberal mayors, basically, and liberal governors. So, I mean, while I get it, and he's the guy standing in front of them, sitting in front of them, he's the one that takes the brunt of this, he's the one that demonstrates the hypocrisy probably as well as anybody, and he's given way, you know, the country leans way too much on him for drawing their own conclusions.
White coat factor, you know.
So that's a fact right there, Scotty. Here's my biggest problem with what I'm seeing right now with a lot of this stuff is unless you agree 100% with the dogma of Trump-hating, left-wing, scare you to death, exaggerators and zealots, then you are to be cut off because your opinion can't matter anymore because Marxists are now in control of the streets and they're in control of, you know, a good half of the states in this country right now. It's really awful.
I take your point. I mean, the mayor should do something about it. I think the thing with Fauci is he's not shy about his advice, right? And giving his opinion on suggestions on something like dating or going to a baseball game or whatever. But boy, oh boy, can you get the guy to say you shouldn't have a protest? No, just crowds. And as you say, he can't do anything about it anyway, but his recommendation certainly would make it more likely that you would have the ability to say, Mayor so-and-so, sorry, you need to shut down the protest if you're shutting down church and you're shutting down, you know, all these other things as well. Just, that's what I think.
I don't rely on him for my decisions. I'm surprised that the mayor isn't having enough talent.
Good point. All right, more with Senator Kevin Cramer on the Talk Radio Town Hall, unemployment insurance, voting, and more. Don't go away. Past the hour, what's on your mind? If you're near a television, you might want to turn on the briefing at the White House because Todd's grumbling. He doesn't want me to tell anybody.
No, that's not what I'm saying. What's going to happen next? You know,
keep the sound down. Keep the sound down. But you can. It's kind of fun to watch the heads of the White House reporters explode as they obsess over this question of the president's tweet yesterday. Kevin knows full well he got an encounter with CNN yesterday, and they were tweeting out what you were saying, and you were giving them fits by not, you know, just throwing yourself at their feet to say, oh, the president was crazy with that. Crazy. What do you make of the president's tweet?
Well, I thought it was one of the more artful tweets I've seen in a long time. I mean, he does a lot of fun tweets, and he outs these guys a lot, and he baits them. And for 4 years, they've taken the bait, and they still aren't bright enough to avoid it. It's too irresistible for them. So the guy that caught me, the first person caught me yesterday, was Manu Raju from CNN, and he said he pulled out the tweet in paper form because they know a lot of times I don't see things that are on the Twitter necessarily, and me almost never. But I said, no, Manu, I've actually seen this one. And he started to laugh. And I said, that's exactly what I did when I saw it, because it exposes, first of all, the hypocrisy. And I said, by the way, Manu, just so you know, that first part of describing the fraud and abuse that is right in mail-in, you know, mandatory mail-in voting, universal voting, has to be told by somebody, and you guys aren't going to tell it. So he is forced to use his Twitter account to get that message out. And then secondly, he poses this question with, I said, remember, not one, not two, but three question marks. In other words, he's not making a proclamation. He's putting out a question. And because everybody's heads are exploding right now, he's going to get exactly what he wants. So what's your question? And he said, and I said, congratulations on taking the bait. What's your question? And he said, don't you think it's irresponsible for the president to be questioning, the validity of an upcoming election? I said, well, you've been questioning his election for 4 years, and you and all your colleagues. And he said, well, okay, fair enough, but is it appropriate for the president of the United States? I said, if he doesn't, no one's going to, because you're going to shut down anybody. So his Twitter account, once again, has to be utilized to get real news out there, because you're not going to cover the real news. And then, but he said, but is it irresponsible for him to do such a thing? I said, no, it's not at all. I said, he's exposed you now. He's outed you. He posed the question. He's laughing. There's a wonderful quote, and it's always been hard to nail down the original source of this quote, but my friend John von Rudin used to always say, beware of the zealots, for they are generally humorless. And so they fell for it, and they make the point so beautifully. And here's what I think, Scott. Here's what my observation of the national media at this point, because I have these conversations with them every single day, probably with half a dozen of them a day.
It's sport for you. It isn't work. It's sport.
It's sport.
Yeah. Totally, it's like going to the racquetball court. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Except that no one's playing against me. I think they kind of even know it. See, that's their dilemma is, as individual journalists, they kind of know it, and yet they still have to do it. They still have to take the bait and run with it, and he exposes them, and we all get to chuckle at it, and they all get to be miserable.
Well,
we're just amused.
Some of those tweets in that commentary got you in a little trouble with Seth Meyers. I'm sure you're real concerned about that, one of the late-night hosts, who, by the way, also didn't get the joke. He says, Trump suggests delaying the election. No, he didn't. He asked the question if we should delay the election until we get it right. Very different things, but here's what Seth said, and your chance to respond.
Texas Senator John Cornyn said, I think it's a joke, I guess. I don't know how else to interpret it. And North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer said, I think that if you guys take the bait, he'll be the happiest guy in town. I read it. I laughed. I thought, my gosh, this is going to consume a lot of people, except real people, and it was clever.
No, yes. Twas clever. Twas clever indeed. A bit of whimsy to brighten the day. A body. Little wisecrack. He's quick ribald.
Trump isn't clever, and he certainly doesn't joke. He floats things, and then he sees if he can get away with it, and only if everyone freaks out, he suddenly claims it's a joke. He's like a husband who tells his wife and her sister, we should have a threesome. That's funny, right?
Oh, okay, all right, enough of that. So what do you think?
Congratulations, Donald Trump. You even stumped this guy, who I've never heard of, by the way, but he must be somebody on TV. So this guy makes the point perfectly, because I sense he's supposed to be funny himself or something. But see, you have to be smart to understand satire. And he doesn't understand the satire. He doesn't even know that he's playing right into the hands of Donald Trump and Republicans by making an ass of himself. And I love it. I mean, I really do enjoy watching these poor people dangle on the end of Donald Trump's hook.
All right. Questions or comments, welcome. On this issue, any issue, obviously, Senator Cramer, as I mentioned earlier, didn't want to know from listeners whether or not you wanted the unemployment insurance bonus for coronavirus continued. They'll debate that next week in Congress. We have a poll up about that saying Senator Cramer has asked us to ask you, should the $600 unemployment bonus be extended as part of the coronavirus relief package? And right now, 86% said no way, no how. 14% said yes. So just so you know, that's where that stands right now. Let's go to Larry in Grand Forks for Senator Cramer. Go ahead, Larry.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Larry. We hear you loud and clear, Larry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Kind of muffled on this end. Hey, I just had a question. What's going on with this Durham report, and is anybody going to be held accountable?
Well, the Durham report, as you call it, is an investigation by a United States attorney, and really it's a better question for him or perhaps for the Attorney General of the United States, because, of course, they don't reveal secrets of an investigation, or they wouldn't have a very good investigation. Every indication is that based on subpoenas and based on interviews of people to talk to, which, of course, becomes public, he's certainly on the right path. He's digging deep. It appears to a lot of us that it's fairly obvious that a lot of misdeeds were done, perhaps even illegal, maybe even criminal activity was done, on spying on Americans with bogus information, with fraudulent, subpoenas themselves. And and we'll see where it leads. But one thing about justice, it oftentimes takes longer than our attention span, and we'd rather have them get it right than get it done quickly. So I don't know, but we'll see when the investigation's done, and if there are any indictments handed down, we'll know for sure. But I don't talk to him, obviously. And if I did, he'd say I can't comment on an open investigation.
Larry, thank you very much for that. Let's go to Ryan in Aberdeen next for Senator Kramer. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, happy Friday, fellas. Senator, thank you for taking my call today. Just real quick, I think that federal unemployment benefits kind of run contrary to the spirit of what unemployment insurance is really supposed to be about. The idea is to make it expensive, more expensive, for employers to let go of employees without cause. And now you're making it easier, especially at $600 a week, you're making it easier for employers to let employees go. So,
And harder to get them back.
harder to get them back, and easier to let them go, which completely flies in the face of my understanding of what unemployment insurance is.
Hang on, Ryan. We'll let Senator Kramer answer that when we come back. Okay, back with Ryan in Aberdeen, who is asking some questions about the unemployment benefits and what the true intention of unemployment is. Anything else you had to ask the Senator, Ryan, before we let him answer?
Well, I just want to add that when I heard those economic numbers yesterday, 39% on the quarter annualized, I thought, duh, seems like we're doing everything we can to shut down in the name of safety. And then these media figures are surprised when the economy takes a tank.
Yeah. So on that point, first, I want to get to the other one, because you made a really good point about the purpose of unemployment insurance. But on that point you just made, I did Fox Business this morning on the Mornings with Maria show, and the one point I didn't make was the one you just made, because she talked about the contraction of the GDP in the second quarter of 32%. And, of course, it was obviously a record by long ways. But I think only a third of the economy, only a third of our productivity rolled back when the entire economy has been basically shut down. The only thing, the only real revenue anymore seems to be, what we print and send out to people. Now, there's certain parts that are kept open, but you're exactly right. Why are people surprised? Anymore, by the way, Ryan, why are people surprised when a mayor or a governor says, we're going to reopen our economy, we're going to allow restaurants at 50%, and, people are going to, we want you to be careful, but we're going to start reopening things now. They do, and then, by the way, they quadruple the tests they take, and then they see a spike in the numbers, and they roll it all back because, oh my God, we, as though they didn't know that reopening the economy is better than having fewer people test positive with coronavirus. It's like, are you not doing the obvious common sense calculations here? Which, by the way, Scott, my biggest surprise in all of this is how few people question what is fed to them by a few government officials. I'm just shocked by it. I that's not to say the government officials are all wrong, but neither might be someone else. I want to get to his point, though, because Ryan makes a point that I've never heard talked about in the unemployment insurance system discussion, and that is one of the purposes for unemployment insurance, remembering that people pay a premium for it, right? Employers pay a premium. They never want one of their people to go get unemployment, because that, it's like any other insurance. It counts against
premiums
you if you
up.
Have too many people collecting unemployment insurance. That's the purpose of it. So it's supposed to cost the employer more. The employee, of course, ultimately should make less than when they're working so that they have an incentive to go back to work. Now, this is an extraordinary circumstance. Congress did an extraordinary thing to try to keep the economy as healthy as they could make it while they're also shutting it down, so that people that are forced not to work by no fault of their own could still have a living. It's also why we passed the Paycheck Protection Program, with the promise of it being forgiven if you kept people on your payroll. In other words, we wanted people made whole. Now, the $600 unemployment bonus allowed for 70% of the unemployed people in the country to make more money than they were making before. For 20%, they made more than double what they made before. Obviously a perverse incentive, obviously very generous, and thank God it runs out today.
And actually, it's already ended in North Dakota. And by the way,
I did ask
specifically of the governor this question a couple times because there was debates when this early on. We heard from employers who were saying you can't get employees back. I mean, they don't want to come back. I mean, when you're paying people more on unemployment than not, you have this perverse incentive, as you say. And so the governor at some point said, you know, we're just going to end it when it ends on 7/31. So the possibility of it being extended prompted me to ask again, does that mean it's done, or it could be extended and it's done? So North Dakota, it's over. It's not happening anymore. Now, this texter says, I could possibly swallow a plan to drop it to 200. It would still taste bad, but it might help some families. That's the point. The question I have here, and I've heard from other people. Yeah. Somebody said, "Hey, I'm unemployed. I can't go back to work because we're shut down, and this is covering my benefits." Well, you say, "Gosh, that's he's using it for a good cause." But the point is, that should be relief that comes from some other area than an unemployment bonus, right?
Well, it could. Perhaps it could. And the unemployment situation, the unemployment infrastructure it's not super efficient. And we know that North Dakota's got a very antiquated system, so it's harder for them. And by the way, they're not alone. Lots of states have antiquated sort of mainframe computer systems, and they can't do big things quickly and make adjustments quickly. That's why the flat amount was what we did during the early part of this crisis. We've had time now to do something a little different. And I will walk through some of the options we're looking at, but one of the things I want to point out that happened yesterday, and we've been debating this, we've been negotiating it, Democrats want nothing short of the $3.5 trillion liberal wish list that would federalize elections, universal mail-in elections, universal voter registration around the country, allow, even encourage ballot harvesting. And of course, the Green New Deal and a whole bunch of other weird stuff. They'll settle for nothing less than that. And here's the best evidence of it. They're crying foul because this one-time bonus, and by the way, remember Ronald Reagan said the closest thing to eternal life on this earth is a government program? Here's the example right now.
Yep.
This, along with the production tax credit for wind, which expired in 1999, has never been allowed to, is ever since. So there are these things that live on forever because once a liberal gets it, they never let it go. Well, yesterday, Martha McSally, the senator from Arizona, got up on the floor of the Senate and offered a unanimous consent motion to extend at $600, Scott, a week, the bonus for one more week while we continue to negotiate. And that was a unanimous consent. That means if nobody objects, it passes immediately. Guess who got up and objected to extending it for another week while we negotiated?
Chuckie Schumer. None other than Chuckie Schumer. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, that doesn't scream, I'm a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite, I'm a hypocrite. Nothing does.
They want the issue. Nothing does. They want the issue. They don't want it fixed.
They want the issue.
Yeah, they want to
say. They want the disease forever. They want the economy shut down forever. They want people. Remember, it was Chuck Schumer who coined that phrase that he's so proud of. We need unemployment on steroids.
I keep thinking this had to be some sort of mistake. Because for one, I know $600 a week comes out to 40-hour week, $15 an hour, right? And there was some talk about trying to keep that floor. Well, it ended up. Wasn't it supposed to be an either-or deal? I mean, wasn't this was a you know, mistake? I mean, not a mistake by some who can't get enough government programs, but it seemed to me the idea of an extra $600 made no sense whatsoever. Maybe a ceiling or a floor, but not an extra $600. Am I wrong?
Well, a little bit. It was clearly intentional on the Democrats' part, and it was also one of their main negotiating terms in order to get other things that we Republicans wanted. But we did, at the last day before we passed the CARES Act, put an amendment on the floor to do exactly what you're talking about, to ensure that no one would make more than their wages previously. That amendment failed. I think it might have gotten 51 votes, I forget, but it failed to get the 60 votes necessary. Obviously, every Democrat voted against it.
And to your other point, according to Steve Miller, a clip we played earlier, the HEROES Act has the provision in it barring voter identification with any mail-in voting. Now, the HEROES Act is the proposed legislation, not passed legislation, right?
It's passed the House.
It passed the House. Of course, but it's not not the law. It's what they're trying to
no.
Yeah, it's what you're reconciling in the Senate now.
Right, but remember, Scotty, and Stephen Miller's right, and that's what they want. They want to federalize it because they don't want rubes like, you know, governors Doug Burgum and Kristi Noem to mess with their great idea of federalizing the election system. They'd hate for states to be in control of their own. That said, remember that places like California are already doing this. They're already allowing people with a driver's license, for example, to vote. Well, as you know, you don't have to be a citizen to have a driver's license, especially in California. Shoot, you can get everything. You get way more being an illegal immigrant in California than you get as a citizen of North Dakota. So there are places that are already doing this around the country. We just don't need the other half of the country to have to be forced to do exactly what Stephen Miller said that these guys want to do, and they clearly want to do it.
Let's go to Mike in Bismarck. Next up for Senator Kevin Cramer. Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I guess I didn't have really a message for Senator Cramer. I was going to comment on the electric car owner that was discussed earlier. So, thank you.
Go for it.
Okay, no problem at all. I'd love to hear it, though. But Gary and Jamestown, you're next for Senator Cramer. Go ahead.
Yeah, in regards to people making more in unemployment than on their regular job, I would say, so what? You know, if they're... employer is treating their employees like galley slaves. What's the employee supposed to do? Thank them for that treatment and come back to work? Because if you talk to an employee who's worked a long time for an employer that he really likes, he or she really likes, he'll tell you, no, the little secret is, I would have worked this job for nothing. So again, I'll just say, why? Okay, so they make more money on unemployment. So what?
Wow. Have you seen the national debt lately, Gary? You think let's do a freebie $600 bonus on unemployment and give people more than they normally would get on unemployment, more than they would get at that job if they were working, and add it to the $20 trillion in debt. That's so what to you?
Okay, let's talk about national debt. In 1992, the federal debt was $2.5 trillion.
I don't need a history lesson on the debt, honestly. I'm saying it is what it is now, and you're suggesting so what to add to it.
What's worse than that, though? I mean, yeah, there is the debt point. I think the more important moral point, well, there's a couple of them, but one of them is that $600 a week. Let me just remind people, we're talking about $600 a week, in addition to the $500-plus a week that they already get from their employer-funded unemployment insurance fund. So now in North Dakota, that's over $1,100 a week you'd get paid to not work. And if you have a wonderful boss that's, you know, and you love your job, and you get paid $500 a week or $400 a week, but you could get $1,100 for not working. I mean, there's a moral problem with that, because that $600, that's coming from your neighbor who is working. That's who's paying the $600 extra for you to not work. And think about an essential worker in a hospital that doesn't make $1,100 a week, but they have to work. They're saving human lives. They are on the front line of this disaster. How about a police officer who doesn't make $1,100 a week, who's saving us from, in many cases, ourselves, but certainly from the...
Hey, hold that thought. Good. And we go to the lightning round. Quick questions, quick answers with Senator Kevin Cramer in the final segment. Texter, we need to have the polls open. It's called Election Day for a reason. Can Congress play a role in that? Is there any chance with the divided government there now that, I feel the same way. My biggest worry right now is that this election is going to be stolen through mail-in voting that we have no control over. None. And that if we can stand in line at the grocery store, we can stand in line at the gall darn poll place. I mean, can you assure me that's going to happen?
No, because remember, elections are state by state. That's why I mean it will be that way in liberal states, and hopefully that won't happen in places like Indiana, Michigan, Pennsylvania, who are swing states for a presidential election. But let's take the nightmare a step further, because yesterday, in what was supposed to be a eulogy, President Barack Obama, who is the Democratic Party's, godfather, said in his eulogy for John Lewis, we need to restore, we need to eliminate the filibuster if we get control of everything, so we can make all this stuff mandatory. That's now the official Democratic policy position, to get rid of the filibuster. And if they get rid of the filibuster, for people who think they want like to get rid of the filibuster, we're going to find out what that's all like if they get the White House, the Senate, and the House, because that means 50 senators can make D.C. and Puerto Rico states, and we'll never have a majority in the Senate again.
It was nice to see Barack Obama make history again by being the first person ever to utter filibuster at a eulogy. That was rather interesting. I wasn't sure if it was the Wellstone funeral or John Lewis's funeral, but it was nothing short of, you really get an idea of the character of people when things like that happen. That's all I'll say.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. A texter says, I spent 30 plus years in the North Dakota National Guard as a part-time soldier and on retirement. I don't make anything close to $600 a week. And that was a bonus. That was a bonus.
And the 600 on top of the 500.
Right? Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Thank you. And thank you for your service. That's what service looks like, what he just described.
Another texter says, what about waiters and waitresses? They make $4 an hour and rely on tips. If their business place is closed down, $4 an hour based on employment insurance, and unemployment insurance is nothing. And if the state is not going to participate in the federal unemployment, that will hurt a lot of people.
Well, which is why restaurants were so important to, and the Paycheck Protection Program is so important to restaurant owners because it allowed them to pay them their, what they'd get, including tips and benefits. So they got their wages, what they'd normally get in tips, and the benefits they got from their, wages without, without having to be laid off and keep their job, even if they weren't working. In many cases, in most cases, they weren't, obviously. So that's why the Paycheck Protection Program is so important, and I applaud those that utilized it, which is why I want to make it easier for it to be forgiven, not add a bunch of bureaucracy, which is what the SBA wants to do.
A listener has sent a link here to a Reuters story that saying the Dutch government on Wednesday said it will not advise the public to wear masks to slow the spread of coronavirus, asserting that their effectiveness has not been proven. Does Senator Cramer agree?
I completely agree. Give me what you know, and I'll listen to other contrarian views of what they know. Some of them are experts on both sides, and let me make up my own mind. But this is what bothers me again, Scott. It's why, how can people just automatically take the advice of a government that they've never trusted before? And it's not just advice. I mean, these mandates are outlandish. And I'm frankly a little tired of being judged. While I wear my mask almost exclusively out of consideration for people who are a lot more scared. But I also sort of feel badly for them that they're so scared. Because fear is what this is all about. I believe fear is a major part of the strategy for a lot of people in this COVID. That's not to say people don't believe certain things that they're saying or that they don't even have some reason to say it. But others are exploiting it by scaring people. And by the way, I don't know how kids will ever grow up normal if this continues the way it's going. I mean, teachers suggesting that kids are going to make them sick and therefore they'd like to get out of their contracts. If some teacher told me they want to get out of a contract because they're afraid of the kids coming to school, I'd say, how quickly can we do that? And I'm sure there's one that wants to come to work.
Somebody else here wants to know what you're planning to support next week regarding the unemployment insurance and COVID relief.
Well, there are a number of options on the table that were being discussed, and the Republican one that's in the HEALS Act, our bill, is $200 per month through September, and then it would ratchet up to 70% of the wages prior to going on unemployment, and that's to give states time to build up a system that can handle it. Ron Johnson has a bill that's $200 additional to state benefits or an amount equal to two-thirds of their normal wages, and then that's capped at $500, and that's probably going to be the first bill that we work on next week. That was killed yesterday again by Democrats and unanimous consent. There is another one. Romney has a pretty interesting one. It's a little more generous. It allows states to choose between an immediate 80% wage replacement or a declining amount that starts at $500 per week in August, goes to $400 in September, $300 in October, and then it provides some money for states to update their unemployment systems so that they can handle the targeted wage replacement. So those will all be on the table, and we'll see, and we'll weigh them all, and we'll stay in touch with you guys.
Sounds good. Sorry we didn't get to all the callers here. We just ran out of time, as we usually do. Wanted to get some of these texts. The last text says, President Trump should come out with support for the $600 payment. Then it would be shut down.
There you go. That would kill it for sure.
All right. God bless.
More time. I wish I would have hung out with my kid. Wish I would have put my kid to bed more, and actually, instead of saying goodnight from downstairs, I wish I would have actually showed up at their stuff more. I wish I would have, instead of watching them play in the ocean from the sand, I wish I would have gone in the ocean with them. Over and over again, that was the overwhelming answer. By far, nothing came close.
Savor the moments, spend time with your kids, and hear more from Jonathan at FamilyMinute.org.
Get your sports fix Saturdays at 9 o'clock with Flag Sports Saturday.
It'll be interesting to see how D'Angelo Russell fits with Karl Anthony Towns going forward. And you know, the Wolves re-sign Malik Beasley to a big contract, you know, etc. So that second bubble potentially could be huge for the Timberwolves and help to springboard them into hopefully the 2020-2021 season.
To keep it positive, though, I can't wait to see Culver and Josh.
Okogie,
yeah. Those are the guys we got to have them.
It's going to be an exciting, and I mean, Culver, they were talking early on in the year, you know, the first 15-20 games, well, he's going to be a bust. He doesn't have this and that.
No.
Keep in mind, when he came in, he was a 19-year-old, what, 6'4 shooting guard?
No, no.
He was
6'6.
6'6?
Yep.
And he's just a kid, and he hasn't bulked up any. I mean, we're looking at a kid that's
a twig.
170, 180 pounds, and you're 6'6, and you're going up against guys like LeBron that are 6'8, 270, and different players like that.
Saturdays, 9 a.m.